listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, you kids and grannies and you cats and gators, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting to the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. We are viewer-supported stations. I always start up my shows, guys, with a little plug for the station. I know that any financial help that you could render would be much appreciated, even a couple bucks, a cup of coffee. If you could send it their way, the operators would much appreciate, like I said, any kind of support they can get. Always good to be with my friend here, Roger Landry, and I'm going to let him go here in a second. But before he gets going, I better get a couple words in, because if I don't get him in now, I don't know if I will. And that's my couple words. Okay, Roger, there, you're good to go. How are you doing, my friend?
I don't know.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Now. You are, it's always good to have you back, my friend. And I know we've seen some pretty crazy stuff go on here in the last 10 days that be an understatement that says it's got our hair up in kind of shackles right now. But we had a little chat before the show started, and let's carry on with that conversation as to where you think this is going to go in the next little while. Of course, we're talking about the theft of the election in the States. Welcome back, my friend Roger.
First off, I would tell you that we're still being told in America that there's no proof of any massive theft going on. There was no proof of any massive fraud. As a matter of fact, this stuff happens. This is normal. It happens every election. It's just it doesn't happen on a scale that can actually tilt the election. So basically, we know there's fraud. There wasn't any more than the usual is. So just shut up and go away, because you're not going to do anything. You're not going to change it. We've already made sure of that. Joe Biden is the president. Now, if you are the average American and you are so steeped in programmed ignorance, it's insane. And I'm not knocking these people, because this is an intentional motivation. If we are all believing exactly what we're supposed to believe, we are an easily malleable society. And America has become that. And so is Canada. And so have most nations that we call the free world, which is a little bit of a misstep in that term as well. But or the Western world, it is literally – okay, literally shut up and just go with it. I'm not joking. But the thing of it is, you had a basic movement start up about 4.5-5 years ago. And that movement was predicated on the audacity and the wishes and the patriotic, I got to give him that, the patriotic flowering or fluffiness or acceptability of Donald Trump. Now, what we need to understand is, why did all of this happen? Because Trump ran for president. My God, we're talking about a major shift in the politics of the planet have happened in the last year.
Roger.
No.
Excuse me? Do you mind if I ask you something?
Sure.
A lot of us knew back in 2000 that George W. Bush Jr. or George Bush Jr. Stole that election. I know the entire base didn't know, but, you know, that was 20 years ago. Why?
King and Chad's?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. I mean,
yes.
You know, the left howled like banshees about that, but it didn't get, I mean, nothing was to do about nothing. So why 2016? Was it just Trump or just a Republican or just manipulation?
How about yes? That is the proper answer to what you just asked me. It is yes. If you stop to consider everything that's going on right now, okay, if, and this is, there is more proof coming out every single day that what happened in Washington, D.C. in the Capitol building was done by individuals that were there with the intention, and some of them were even paid with the intention to cause trouble and blame it back on the Trump individuals who were, and in most cases, trying to stop it. There's actual videos of Trump people in the Capitol building telling these provocateurs, don't do that. No, we don't want you to do that. And in some cases, literally forcibly dragging them away from what would be an altercation. But none of that ever hits the news. None of it. What you need to understand is the amount of violence that was seen in the Capitol building is 0.1% of any one of the 38 major, okay, riots, violent riots that killed people, that literally, no, I'm not talking about people that got killed by accident, like in the Capitol, or the woman who got shot by an idiotic policeman in the Capitol building when she wasn't even close enough to be any danger to anybody. What we're talking about is apples and oranges. If the Democrats do it and they destroy billions, listen to me, billions of dollars of private business, businesses that are owned by you and me and not the big people, okay? These are downtown businesses destroyed, absolutely destroyed. And if you got in their way, you were maimed if you weren't killed. And we're talking about billions of dollars worth of damage in multiple cities across the United States. But those were mostly peaceful protests. But if you get these people going into the Capitol, what did they actually destroy in the Capitol besides a couple of windows that were broken? And those, I will be able to prove shortly, were actually broken by paid provocateurs, not by Trump supporters. Mm-hmm. So if you compare the two of them, what we are seeing is for one brief and comparatively speaking, relatively nonviolent skirmish as compared to over 40 destructions of the downtown of major cities across the United States. They will hound every one of these Trump supporters till the end of the earth to drag them through court and send them to prison for anything they can lie about or anything they can falsely accuse them of. But at the same time, even the rioters that were arrested in all of these big riots across America, even when they were arrested, they were released without the need for bail. They were just released, knowing for a fact that a big chunk of them were literally piped in from out of state to take part in these riots and were being paid to do so. We've all heard the stories about, I don't know, pallets of bricks that were strategically placed overnight so that when the riot happened the next day, you got some bricks to throw and they're in the right place to throw them. None of this comes to anybody's mind when they start talking about the massive riots that almost destroyed the entire United States in the Capitol building, which is the biggest lie ever told. If you take a look at what is going on in this country, what you are finding out is the 85 million people, or it might, I think it might have been almost 88 million, that were following Trump on Twitter, the 80 million plus that voted for him for president, and I could go on and on. These people aren't going away. They've freaking had it, and they're not going away. So anybody who thinks that Trump, who has been literally and unconstitutionally and illegally removed from the presidency in a coup, absolute fact by definition, in a coup in the United States, and this is not the first time this has happened, and as we were discussing prior to the show, ask Baby Bush about that. Let's talk about some hanging chads, people. Okay? Mm. Yeah. This is not the first time. But it is the first time that the American people have stepped up to say, this ain't right. This is all bullcrap. And we're not going away. I need to explain something to you. Trump will not retire. He's 74 years old. He should have retired a long time ago. He's got money out the yang. He should have retired a long time ago. He's not going to. He has no intentions of retiring. If anything, he intends to form a new party. Now, I'm going to tell you why I'm not sure that'll happen. And it's not because he can't do it. He could do it very easily. What it will do, though, is it will split the conservative vote, even if the majority go to Trump. It will split the conservative vote so that in elections going forward, the effectiveness of the Republican / conservative or independent vote is going to be so watered down that we may never win another presidential election again. And this has been discussed as the intent of everything we've been discussing in the first place, is to absolutely make it so that no Republican will ever be elected president in this country again.
Not just president, but senator and Congress too.
No, senators and Congress are local races. So they are much more determined on the voice of the people. And election fraud may be still not quite so great in the big cities, but it's not quite as bad, because if you take a look, Trump lost. But the Republicans gained how many houses in Congress? They made up a big chunk of the difference between what they had and what the Dems had. Okay, so again, local politics, not so much, but to a degree, you're right. But nowhere near as much as getting a president elected. And I'm going to tell you something else, okay? I honestly believe that there are some leaders in this country, and these would be military leaders, who have absolutely had it, who have been looking at the treason unfolding in front of their faces for about a dozen years. And I know it goes way back, especially, you know, to the beginning of the century. But at the same time, all of this has accelerated since the beginning of the Obama days. And it has accelerated every year since then. And once Trump got into office, it accelerated at a pace that we're seeing today. We're looking at one thing. I just published a meme today. And that meme, to me, says so many things in so few words. So I'm going to pull this thing up, and I want to read this to the audience, okay? The meme I just published has a picture of Joe pouting. And on it, it says, for all of you Biden voters, because we actually published a couple of articles today about Biden people on Twitter realizing the mistake they made and telling everybody they're sorry. Go to Twitter and look. Not a joke, yep. Okay?
Yep.
Go to the Liberty Beacon and look at the article. But here's what the meme says that I made. For all of you Biden voters who are starting to fret what you have done to this country, you're wrong. Your vote did not elect Sleepy Joe. As was abundantly proven, that's the deep state's accomplishment. And this is tearing America apart intentionally. There can be no global government or global governance until America falls. Look around you and understand who Joe really works for. Here's a hint. It's not you. Joe is a member of the globalist team. Joe doesn't have a brain to think for himself worth a crap. If you listen to Joe shooting from the hip when he's talking to a crowd, the last video, the latest one you can get a clip of, his latest oops, was where he's poking a union man who's wearing a hard hat. He's poking him in the chest and telling him, I don't work for you. You want to know something, Joe? Yes, you do.
That was back.
You do work for him.
Wasn't that back last fall or something? Last summer?
No, he just did it again.
Oh, he did? Okay.
That's 15 minutes now, Roger. Do I get to say anything yet, or am I still in my corner?
I can always hang up. You can have the rest of the show to talk. No,
I'm just kidding, buddy. I'm just kidding. I want you to keep talking, Roger, but I do want to say a couple things, but now I forgot what I was going
to
say.
All you have to do is say, matter. Yo, Rog, let me in.
Rog. Hey, Roger. Yeah, buddy. It's really hard to believe, you know, I've gone through, like everybody else here in the last couple of weeks, an emotional roller coaster, Roger, where I honestly believe that the judicial system, there was enough good people left in the judicial systems in the states to put a stop to this theft. When that didn't happen and he became inaugurated, of course, I was ready to just about scream like the rest of the country. But I believe there's something very, very a lot deeper than we're seeing on the surface going on right now. That I don't believe that Joe Biden is going to be the president of the United States for a very long time at all. And I hope I'm correct, and I hope some of the information I'm getting is correct. But lots of chatter right now about military involvement, Roger, and you talked about it. So let's carry on that.
Barry, I'd like to ask something before you do that, Barry, to Roger.
Okay, Steve.
What do you think about this talk here in the list, a little bit about Trump restoring the republic back before the pre-1871 act?
What do I think? I think the first thing we need to do is put him in a position where he can do something like that. And do I think that that is a possibility? Yeah, I do. But you're probably going to find that that's coming from somebody's wish list. Do I think that's a possibility? Again, I said, yes, I do. But at the same time, the priority here is to put someone into a position where that's even a possibility. And in order to do that, what do we have to do? We've got to take Biden and Kamala out of power. Now, I've already stated on this show at least once, if not several times, that I don't believe Joe Boy is going to last very long. Joe Bob is going down. And Joe Bob's going to go down as soon as he says the wrong thing or as soon as he starts acting stupid in front of live crowds, which isn't going to take very long. And when that happens, that's what the 25th Amendment is for. It was never for Trump. And anybody who thinks it was, you're wrong. Impeachment is much more effective, and they're still running impeachment, except that what they have to understand is if you really read the Constitution and you really read the laws – impeachment is only for a sitting president. Trump isn't a sitting president. End of story. So what we're looking at here is can this be done in a legal fashion? Can we remove Joe? Because believe it or not, Arizona and a couple of other states, including Pennsylvania, are still working on vote counts. They're still working on it. Yes. Maricopa County right now has finally agreed that they're going to let their machines be audited. What happens if 2 months from now, all of a sudden, it is made abundantly clear to the world that Trump was right, all of us were right, and Biden didn't win the election?
So what happens at that point, Roger? What kind of legal recourse could happen? Because I believe if they actually get these vote counts done properly in these states, you know, and I know that they will be flipped to Trump. What can happen at that point, seeing Joe's already sitting in the Oval Office? What can happen?
What can happen at that point? Absolutely nothing. The reason being is that Trump, in order to maintain harmony in this country, conceded. He didn't go to the to the inauguration. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. But by not contesting it, by not saying I will not give up the office, all of these things that everybody expected him to do. But you need to understand, he sits in a whole different world than we do. If a president refuses to give up power, that president can be taken out by force. Okay, absolutely. And since the electors had already been counted and Joe Biden had been declared the winner, regardless, because we have, and everybody here on this call, this show knows what I'm about to say, we have a judiciary in this country that is scared of their own shadow. They were overheard all the way up to and including the Supreme Court, okay, where the head dude is hollering and they're hearing this in the antechamber outside where the secretary sits, okay? Roberts is screaming at the two new people who were just put in by Trump, you ain't going to do nothing. Because what about the violence that's going to come back on the Supreme Court if we do this? We can't do this, and you're going to shut up and do what you're told. So basically, what we found out was that the biggest and most powerful court in the United States was afraid of riots outside of their doors. So they sold the American people down the river. If Roberts would have taken the case from Texas, which he should have, which the Supreme Court should have taken, and any legal expert will tell you they should have, none of this would have happened. But once they refused it, they set a precedent for every single freaking court below them. What we are looking at and what this all combines on are two possibilities. One we talked about before the show and one we didn't. Let's start off with the one we didn't talk about before the show, okay? And that is that Joe stays where Joe is, and that as soon as they can, because they're looking for it, find a good excuse that the public will accept to retire Joe, okay, via the mechanism of the 25th Amendment, retire Joe and put Kamala in office. Mm. Now you've got a woman of color, you've got a woman, period, and you've got somebody who everybody said had no way of getting elected. Let's face it, she was running for president. She didn't even get through the first round of debates before she backed out because her performance was so bad that nobody wanted anything to do with her. But yet, she's the vice president, and you want to get, I'll guarantee you that if this is the path we have to continue down, within a year, she will be the first female president of the United States and Joe will be retired. That's the first possibility. And if that stays for the next 4 years, let's talk about what's already happened. They've already put us back into the Paris Accords, okay, which means that we're going to start losing money. They shut down the pipeline coming from Canada. Okay, yep. Which is about, 22,000 jobs in Canada, and I don't know how many in America, gone. Yep. Which means the price of oil in the United States is going to start going right back up to the $4 and $4.50 that we were used to before Trump got in there. But you know what? Joe Boy's doing that for his buddy Bob's. And you know what? Screw every American out there that's going to have to go from $2 a gallon to $4.50 a gallon. He don't give a damn about you. He just doesn't. And it's like he told that poor miner, I don't work for you. But the problem here is he absolutely does work for us. Each individual American is his boss. Now, is one voice going to change what he does? No. But a bunch of voices put together, that's supposed to work. It won't work with this contingent. It will not work with Joe Biden. It won't work with Kamala. And by the end of that 4 years, America is going to be broke on its knees, and one world government is going to be a hell of a lot closer. It was set, right after World War II, it was stated We need to bleed America because they knew our economic engine was powerful. We need to bleed America for every buck we can get from them. Then they need to go to their knees. We will not be able to bring in a one world government or global governance if America has not been taken to her knees first. Look around you. What the hell do you see? I'm going to tell you something. People in Canada, I'm going to tell you something. People in America, I'm going to tell you something right now. This is not a time to be passive. And I'm not asking you to do anything violent. I'm asking you to bring your voice to bear. I'm asking you to do research and call the people who govern you, whether it's local, city, state, province, or national. I'm going to tell you right now, in 3 or 4 years, if we sit back and do nothing, the America and the Canada we're going to be living in, you wouldn't want for your kids. But you will be just as responsible for it as they are because you did nothing. This is the most dangerous time in Canadian and American history that any of us can remember or have any knowledge of. There is not a more dangerous time in modern history than there is right now. And it depends on we the people. It doesn't depend on the government because the government's corrupt and controlled. It doesn't depend on the corporations because the corporations own and control the government. So who does it depend on? Who does the future of North America depend on? It depends on Barry. It depends on Steve. It depends on me and everybody listening to this show. And if you decide that you're just a little bit too busy or you just really don't think it's your purpose to do anything like this, then the next time you come anywhere near me and start to complain, I'm going to come right up to your face. I'm going to stand 2 inches away from you and stare right into your eyeballs. And I'm going to say, so what the hell did you do to stop it?
Absolutely, Roger.
That's where we are. Sorry, Barry, but I am not happy.
I share your passion. I share your anger, Roger, because we are, like you said, we're at a pinnacle point right now. And the problem is that, you know, in Canada here, so many people are still walking around with their heads in the clouds that, you know, you could put in the clouds, put their head down looking at their Game Boy. But basically, buddy, it's in Canada, I could put information in front of people, hardcore information all the time. And I do. And it's just like they do not even want to look at it, whether it's truth or not. They don't want to look at it. We have a real problem here, buddy. We do. The level of cognitive dissonance in Canada, and the people just don't want to look at actual information. I see, you know, right here in Terrace, I lost a friend yesterday, a lady I've been doing business with for years, Roger. We can't talk anymore because she doesn't want me around the store because I'm anti-mask, that I won't conform to rules and regulations, that I'm not allowed to come in her businesses anymore. Yet I've been consigning stuff in her shop for years, and now we've had to part paths over a virus that is a nothing burger. Over masks, we're parting paths. She won't listen to any information, Roger. I try and tell her, you know, just go to the website and look and tell me if any of these masks have any effect on this virus, per se, any of them. And I will shut up and I'll put a mask on. But of course, they're not even going to go that far. And I will. If you can prove to me it has any effect at all, Roger, I'd be glad to put one on because I want to do my part.
All right. But remember what you just said, okay? Because I can go right now. I can go to the Liberty Beacon and I can come up with an article that fits that billet. I
saw that article.
Absolutely. Okay, you did see it. All right.
I saw it and I read it. My question, Roger, how do you ever sleep? Because I went to the Liberty Beacon today and I see all kinds of new articles that you put up today. When do you sleep?
I sleep 5 to 6 hours a night and I work 18 hours every day. The article that Barry and I are talking about is called, and it's on the libertybeacon.com.
Go read it.
It's called 20 Reasons Mandatory Face Masks Are Unsafe, Ineffective, and Immoral. And if you read that, they will give you 20 points with reference links on all of them so that you can go and see exactly what this is all about. Now, I have to say one more thing here, okay? I have to. Because if you stop to consider what I just said, there needs to be a reason for this. And this is on the featured image I made up for the article, okay? This is that comment. One might suspect that the only political reason for enforcing the measure of mask wearing is to foster fear. Fear, let me tell you what fear is, people. Fear is the most effective mechanism ever devised by man's mind to control mankind. End of story.
Can I add something also?
Nothing works better than fear. Even bribery doesn't work better than fear. If I tell you I'm going to give you $1,000 if you do something, and you get a big smile on your face and you say, well, hell, I could probably do that.
Can I add something?
If I look at you and I've got a gun in my hand and I say, you've got 15 seconds, do it or you're dead. How much more motivation do I have there?
Hang on a second, Roger. Can I add something here?
Sure.
It's about 4 months back. I caught a video. I think she was probably an English woman or an Irish woman. She had just walked out of a store or something, and she was crying her eyeballs out, and she said that she met an older man outside the store, and he thanked her for smiling at him. And she said, he said it had been 6 months since he had seen somebody smile coming out of that store. He had gone to that store for years and years just to say hi to people and see them smile. And he said, I'm just waiting to die now because I can't see smiles anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's just one of the effects it's having on society, Steve. You know, covering your faces when people, one of the most important things as humans, we want to look at each other's mouths because that's how we express our feelings and our emotions to people is through our mouth. And of course, they want to mask that up. I mean, this is just absolute bullcrap. The psychological effect that's having on people, we could talk about that for another hour. It's just off the scales everywhere. No. Go ahead.
Let's peel that layer back just a little bit further. Okay. Why are we being told, and I can give you scientific proof. I just read you the title to one of the articles. I can give you scientific proof that masks not only don't work, but they do more damage to us than if we never wore them. That's an absolute 100% popcorn fact, not a guess. Masks do more damage to you than they will ever help you. That is an absolute fact. These are doctors stepping up to say, masks are causing physical harm to millions of people across the planet. And it is so subtle, okay? I need to ask you guys a question. When you walk into a store, whether it's Canada or the United States, and you see that person with the handkerchief over their mouth, okay, and their nose, and you walk into another store and you see somebody with a scarf over their mouth and their nose, and you walk into another one and you see, and I could go on. These are accepted. They're accepted by the people who are supposed to be at the door making sure you wear a mask. Let me tell everybody listening something here, okay? The holes, the pores in between the threads on a cloth mask are so big when you consider the size of what a virus may be, because I really don't think there is virus here, but the actual true size of the virus, if that was true, it would be like putting a BB through a hole the size of the frickin' moon. So if you think that a cloth mask, if you think that a handkerchief, if you think that a scarf over your mouth and nose is protecting you, you're an idiot. But yet, you're doing what they want you to do. You've got your tail between your legs and you're saying, I'm playing nice. Can I do this? I've got my mask on. Can I come in and buy some? I've got my mask on. Can I get on the bus? I've got my mask on. But who's going to stop and tell you the mask you have on does not protect you or anybody around you? You need to get a real mask. Nobody says that. Nobody says that in Walmart. Nobody says that in any big store. You want to know why? It has nothing to do with wearing a mask. It has nothing to do with protecting you. It has everything to do with you being a good little doobie and doing what you're told. And how do they know you're doing what you're told? Because you've got a mask on.
It's called compliance, Roger. That's all it is, my friend.
Well, that was
and
my
along
next
is coming the vaccine is next. Yeah, of course. And, of course, this will lead into the vaccines and tracing apps and what's going to be next. I mean, they're going to be doing facial recognitions. They're going to, you know, full lockdowns in society. We see that happening in Canada right now. Ontario's in a full lockdown. Roger, you can't go to your house. You can go to your house for an essential. That's it. You can go to your house to go to the grocery store. Besides that, you've got to stay in your house at home. What? And this is Canada? Come on, folks.
Oh, yeah, this... Canada's probably...
We're in trouble.
I don't know, probably one of the least affected major countries when it comes to this virus across the planet.
I don't know.
Well, no, you guys are, okay? What I'd like to talk about, all right, what I'd like to talk about is all of these deaths that we're having from COVID-19. All of these deaths. And let me explain something else to you, okay? And I'm segueing into the vaccine here, but we need to start with this, all right? Let's take a look at the major surge. Now that Joe Biden's been elected, the major surge in COVID cases, okay? We've got to do 100 days of wearing masks. I just got done telling you that's absolutely ineffective, totally, 100%, and does more harm to the wearer than it does good to anybody else. But that's what they're going to tell you. For the next 100 days, you have to wear a mask because if you don't, you're unpatriotic and you're trying to kill your neighbors. Stop and think about everything we've just said, okay? There is no flu this year. There is no pneumonia this year or any other rampant this time of the year breathing, you know, whether I have bronchitis, whether I have everything now that's respiratory is COVID-19. Even though every year we have between 35 and 50,000 at a minimum cases and deaths from flu. It doesn't exist this year. Or there may be like 300 or 400 cases, not 35 to 40,000. Where did it go?
Where did it go, man?
Okay. So now we've got everybody scared crapless, and we've got to go into another basic lockdown for another 100 days. Everybody's got to wear masks. You need to destroy the entire economy for what they're trying to get to work works. You need to absolutely destroy the economy. But you don't destroy the Walmarts. And you don't destroy all of the big chain, the big box businesses that basically own and control and run the world. What you destroy are the mom and pops. Now, there's got to be a reason for that. Why do we want to get rid of all the small and the mom and pop businesses? Why do we want to do that? It doesn't make any sense unless you're sitting at the top. Because once you get rid of all of what they consider to be the chaff in the middle and lower levels, then anything you need to get from them. There's already talk and there's already action on COVID passports. There's already talk and already action on whether or not you get the vaccine, whether you get social points or not. And those social points will allow you to do this and not allow you to do that, so on and so forth. Right out of the CCP book in China. Right out of their book.
Right out of there.
And this is exactly where we're headed. That's not a joke. It's not a guess. It's an absolute fact. What we end up with by the time Joe Biden and Kamala are done with us, what we end up with is a bunch of people who live at the mercy and at the behest of the government. We do what they say, when they say, and how they say it, or we don't get anything. Why do I know that? Because there's no place to get a job. They've driven them all out of business. Take a look at how many small and medium-sized businesses are going under each week in both Canada and the United States. Take a look. They'll never come back. And we're talking hundreds of thousands of them. If we do this for another 3 or 4 years, we're going to be living in a country where if the government says, jump, you don't say how high, you ask when you can come down. Because if you don't, you don't get anything from them. There's no place to get a job. There's no way to support your family. You have to live at the behest of the government. Now, everybody out there is thinking, Roger's really taking this really far, isn't he? Let me ask you a question. Hold on. Let me ask you a question. If I had told you 6 months ago what's happening today, wouldn't you have been every bit as skeptical as what I'm saying about what might happen 6 months or a year from now? We are in totally uncharted territory, and we have the most powerful organization on the planet, the elitist caste, which controls all of the money, all of the money on the planet. No, that money isn't yours in the bank. They control all of the money. And what do they wish? They wish to have us under their thumb. They wish to trim about 90 to 95% of us down so that we are a controllable crowd at that point. And what will we be used for? We will be used for servicing those elites who felt all along it was their right to own and run this planet. This has been in the cards since the beginning of the 1700s. The reason the elites have accelerated their plan today, and I've said this on your show before, Barry, is because of technology. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm taking a breath.
What? No, you're not allowed to. You got 20 minutes left. You can't stop, Roger. I don't pay you the big bucks to take breaks, buddy. No, I'm all okay, joking.
All right, aside. All right, all right. That's the third time you said you don't pay me the big bucks. I'm just waiting to see Mr. Biden. Barry, when these big bucks are going to show up?
Buddy, didn't you get the check in the mail? I sent you a check. It's in the mail.
Yeah, okay.
Roger, we've got to make a little humor of this because it's not really something we should be laughing about, but we have to laugh about it a bit because, you know, you're spot on and everything you said in the last 15 minutes. If people don't take this to heart, folks, if you don't take what he just said to heart, then I don't know what to say to you because it does sound crazy, but it's not. We look at everything they're doing right now. They're funneling us into a one world system. We could talk about the push for cashless. We could talk about the push for the RFID chip. We could talk about the push for vaccines. We could talk about all these different aspects. But what they're doing, folks, is like Roger's pointing out, is they're funneling us into a situation where you will not have a choice about where you can go buy your pair of shoes, where you go buy your groceries, where you go buy anything in society. In Canada, Roger, we've lost 250,000 small businesses since the onset of this scamdemic. 250,000 businesses. Out of those 250,000 folks, half of them are guaranteed are never going to open up again. So what Roger's pointing out is what they're doing by destroying small business base is they're funneling us into a situation where the big box giants will control everything that we do, buy, or sell. Go ahead, Roger.
What you and I had a discussion on this show about a month and a half ago where I said that anybody who believes what we're headed for is communism, you're a moron. Anybody who believes what we're headed for is socialism, you're an idiot. Okay? And I'm not talking about anybody personally, so don't take it personally. I'm talking about groups as a whole because this isn't what's happening. Okay? Socialism is basically an autocratic government. It's basically something that's run supposedly an institution run to benefit every citizen equally. We're not looking at that. We're not looking at communism. We're not looking at socialism. We're looking at a corporatocracy.
Right.
And in a corporatocracy, the people at the top, the people who own these big box stores, the people who own the Amazons, the people that own – these people will literally be the rulers of this planet. I'm not joking.
That's fascism.
The Bill Gates, the Bezos.
Yep.
These will be the leaders.
Roger, can I add something else, Roger?
Sure.
It was about 2 years ago. I'm sure it was all over the country, but Jeff Bezos started building the – Amazon distribution centers.
You mean the one where the unions right now have to do wanted to do a mail-in and he said no, you've got to do a freaking in-person vote, even though he didn't support that for the national presidential election? Is that what you mean?
No. The distribution.
Well, that's what just happened.
Yeah, okay. I understand that, but 2 years ago he started to build distribution centers all over the country, and there was one started about, I think, March or April of 2019 around my area, and it got finished about August of 2019. Maybe it was 3 years ago. He started them. And the one around my area got finished in August of 2019. That was probably close to, you know, 6-7 months before this hit. And everything has been pretty much Amazon delivery or UPS or FedEx or something. You nearly can't buy anything anymore in stores because they don't deliver to stores anymore. They want the home delivery like you just mentioned. You know, that indicates to me that there was a aforementioned knowledge of this coming.
It absolutely was. And again, this has been planned for years, not months, not weeks. This has been in the planning for years. They've actually done dry runs on it. Okay. And there's actually articles that you can find on the internet stating this. But if you stop again, let's stop to consider what Bezos has done. Okay. This guy who is supposedly it's between two people right now, but right now they're saying he's the richest man in the world, which is not true. It isn't. They don't want you to know how much the Rothschilds are worth. But believe me, the Rothschilds are by far – they probably have more money than all the billionaires combined. But Bezos, when this election was so dramatically stolen, okay, and there's so much proof, and it's inevitable – okay, one day some court's going to have to take it up. And as soon as they do, they're going to have to say, you're right, this did happen. This is what we're talking about, okay? But this guy was 100% behind the mail-in ballots. 100% behind it because of COVID-19. 100% behind it because it would save lives. And, oh, I could go on and on. Right now, in one of those centers you're talking about, they have a big decision that has to be made within the next couple of days. And that is whether or not to unionize. Okay. Now that requires a union or a membership vote or a vote of the employees within that area. And it may even be involving more areas across the country, but this is, the article is based on this one center. And what did Bezos say? He said, because they were going to do this by mail-in ballot. He said, no, no, no. He said, mail-in ballots leave too much room for fraud. Too much room to send a vote in a direction it shouldn't have gone in. The only way to protect the people is to have them come in and do a ballot. Okay, hold on a second. That is what he says when it comes to him having to pay union wages going forward, but not what he said when the biggest example of election fraud ever to have existed was blatantly put on the front stage for the entire world to see. So basically what we're seeing here is exactly what me and Steve and Barry have been telling you, okay? If it has to do with you and me, we can be screwed. It's okay. That's not a problem. It's good for us. If it's something that has to do with Bezos' wallet, oh, no, we can't do that. That's not safe. That's conducive to vote rigging. This is, again, an article published on the Liberty Beacon today. You guys ought to just at least once a day stop by there, because all of these things I talk to you about with confidence, and I have no compunction whatsoever about anybody challenging me on anything that comes out of my mouth. I have no problem with that. I'm not going to sit here as angry as I am, speaking as loudly as I can, and over-talking my friends simply because I think something may be true. I'm 67 years old, and I spent 30 years working for these people inside the U.S. government, working for the military-industrial complex. I'm not an idiot. And I definitely know what goes on behind the scenes. So when I talk to you guys with this much emphasis and this much anger, we're in trouble. And we are. And the only way we're going to get out of trouble is for everybody listening in Canada and everybody listening in the United States to realize we're at the point where it's now up to you. Not the government. Not the doctors. Not any of them. It's up to you. Because if you don't step up, then shut up.
Nobody's coming to our rescue, folks. Nobody.
Nope.
The knight in shining armor will not come over the hill. We have to take this into our own hands right now. And, Roger, I feel your passion, and I feel your anger, and I feel your love for your country. It oozes out of you, buddy. And, at this point, said there's millions of us that are absolutely devastated over the results of what we see going on here right now in America. If Kamala Harris becomes prime or president of that country and she's allowed to have power in that country for a couple of years, Roger, I don't know if there will be a United States of America in 4 years. Regardless, there will never be a fair election system ever allowed to take place in America again, that you will have Democrats from now to eternity. The same thing that's happening in Canada right now with Trudeau setting in mail-in ballots and everything else that he's doing to set up the next election so he can be a majority forever and ever and ever. If we don't stand up to this now, folks, we are going to lose it all. And whether America has four more years, Roger, I wouldn't be able to answer that question. But based on what I'm seeing right now and the acceleration, and I know what she's going to do if she ever gets power, man, who's going to be her vice president, Roger? Maybe Nancy Pelosi, perhaps? Can you imagine those two running the United States?
Well, somebody. Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders, well, those two running the country. Can you imagine? Go ahead, friend.
I have to say something before this ends, okay? And I have to go to the top of the hour. Let's talk about 1776. And for all of you Canadians, you probably, most of you do know, but for the ones that don't, that was the year we decided to step up and say, you know what, we need our independence. I'm going to go back to 1776, and I'm going to walk around the neighborhood. And I'm going to listen to people talking in the square, because they used to have what was called town criers.
Right.
They would go to the square, ring a bell, and tell the news. Okay, and people would gather and they would discuss this news. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go all the way back to 1776, just before the revolution started. And I'm going to listen to what these people are saying. And I'm going to tell you that what they are saying about tyranny, about not having a word, about things being imposed upon them instead of being asked of them, so on and so forth. And I'm going to tell you that the conversations that I'm listening to sound eerily familiar. Familiar with what? Familiar with things we're talking about today. Know the technology. Take it out. I'm talking about the examples of. I'm talking about the path to. It ended in a revolution. I'm seriously hoping that doesn't happen in North America. But if it does, it will be very, very quick. Right now, Americans are waking up at a historical rate. I'll be 67 in August, so I'm not quite 67. I'm 66 years old.
You're 66. You're the same age as me, buddy.
I know that, but you're older than me. If you look around at what's going on, if you look around at what people are saying and what people are doing, I have never seen so many awake Americans. The biggest negative fallout to all of the crap they've been pulling is that Americans may be steeped in ignorance because we've been force-fed it for 70 years now, but we're not stupid. And we are. When I say we, I'm talking about America as a whole. We are starting to see exactly what's going on behind door number three. We're seeing it. And it's up to people like me and Barry and Steve and other people to open those doors or pull those curtains back so people can see it. America is waking up at a pace I never expected to see in my lifetime. That's a good thing. Because what most people don't understand is the power and the resolve in America when we decide we've had enough. When the emperor asks his war hero, okay, Admiral Yamamoto, to attack the west coast of the United States, Hirohito, okay, Yamamoto looks at him and says, I'm sorry, my emperor, I can't do that. And a big gasp went out across the entire freaking room. It was like, you don't say no to the emperor. And when the emperor asked him to explain himself, and you've all heard this line before, he said, my emperor, if I was to invade America, there would be an American with a rifle behind every blade of grass. If we're heading to this point, it isn't going to last long, but it will be bloody. Do I expect we're going to see that? I really don't think so at this point. But if things continue down the path that most Americans can't tolerate, it may be inevitable. And when I say inevitable, the inevitability will be due to the fact that the government, who is at this point our enemy, has looked at everything and said, this is the perfect time and place for a false flag, in which case you will see civil war break out across the entire country.
Well, Barry, you wouldn't believe it, buddy. Our time is up again. You wouldn't believe it, would you? That hour went very quickly, my friend. I'm going to have to let you go here in a minute. Last minute, can you share with people where they can find you real quick? And we'll take the Duracells out of you for now and put them back in a couple weeks and hope to get you back, and we'll carry on with this conversation.
Yeah, right. I don't do anything when I'm not on your show.
Oh, but
it is the Liberty Beacon Project, and the flagship website is thelibertybeacon.com. And when you go there, right up at the top, you'll see a banner with four other websites. You can click on that banner and go to any one of those websites. These sites are set up for one reason and one reason only: to give you the truth. And we don't pussyfoot around at all.
Roger, good to have you in, buddy, as always. Folks, please follow Roger's work and go look at his articles. He's always got good stuff up. Thanks, Roger. And we'll hopefully have you back again in a couple weeks.
Seems all right, you guys have a great afternoon, and thanks again, Barry.
Okay, Roger, thank you. Okay, folks, I'll be back in 3 minutes. I'm going to take a bathroom break, and I'll be back with Jürgen Wallraff. Hang around. He's full of piss and vinegar.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.
Welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again for Roger for coming in. Always enjoy talking with Mr. Landry. And like I said, I'll have him back again in a couple of weeks. It seems to be a regular thing with me now, so look forward to it. And second hour, well, I save the best for the last. Jürgen Vollreth has joined me for the second hour. Anybody that's listened to my shows over the years has heard Jürgen talk many times, and always look forward to my conversations with Jürgen. How you doing there, my friend? Welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be with you again and your listeners, Barry. A big shout out to Annie down in Florida and to your wonderful producer, Steve. It's great to be back with you.
Yeah, so what's been about maybe 3 weeks, I think, since the last time we talked, Jürgen, and lots has happened. I know that what's happened down in the States here in the last 10 days has really kind of thrown a lot of us into a state of disarray. The fact that we have seen the absolute theft of an American election, whether it's going to stand or not, that remains to be seen. Mechanisms, like we talked the first hour, mechanisms that could actually stop this presidency from going forward. And apparently, Roger's thoughts on that is that basically really there isn't anything that can be done at this point, even if it comes forward that states like Arizona and Pennsylvania and Michigan are proven to be absolute fraudulent in their results. Going down the road in a couple months, whether this can be changed, whether we have to put up with Biden for 4 years is absolutely, that's a terrifying thought to me, my friend. And it's not Biden, of course, it's going to be Kamala Harris will be president. We know that's the play. What do you think about all that, Jürgen?
Well, let me first of all say that I don't think that Biden is going to last for 4 years, certainly not even a year. I don't think his or Kamala Harris's reign is for real. We all know it's an illegitimate presidency. I'd like to go to Phil Klein if you're going to talk about that. He was the he's currently professor of law at Liberty State University. He's a former attorney general of Kansas, and he's a fellow that I read quite a bit. He was the director of the Amistad Project, part of the Thomas More Society, involved in the study of election integrity for years. And here's his quote. So just so you get it from his perspective, okay, this is Phil Klein. From where we sit, we witnessed an unprecedented and coordinated infusion of private funds as well as private-public partnership in all swing states to improperly and unlawfully impact the results of the 2020 presidential election. I have witnessed the deconstruction of truth through the deconstruction of the definition and meaning of words, such that the result is lawlessness and the mandates of this legislature are not respected nor followed through that deconstruction of words. In the Kobo Center, we witnessed the exclusion of one party from being able to witness the handling and the counting of ballots, the handling of the ballots, and the curing of the ballots. With justification, even though both parties are required to be there by law, that the Republican who was placed in the cheap seats in a hall that is over 3 football fields long and could not see what was occurring in the handling of the ballots complied with the law because he was in the place. In the place, they said, to which I say Detroit is a place, the planet Earth is a place, the universe is a place. Clearly, the purpose of the law was to prevent fraud through a prophylactic measure of allowing both political parties to witness the management, the handling, and the counting of ballots. Right. America did not have a transparent election in any form and in any matter, in every location that funds from Mr. Zuckerberg touched. In fact, the plans that were initiated through his funds that were mandated by a charity to which he gave $350 million required that these elections be managed in that fashion. In fashion, basically, he privatized this election, and we cannot privatize elections.
Right.
And that's kind of where I go to that. And also, you know, which makes a lot of sense, right, what he just said. And so I'm of the opinion that, you know, we've witnessed the death of democracy. And I went through this yesterday on Guy's show. It is something that we all need to be aware of, and everybody needs to listen to this. We, you know, humanity is on the brink once again, and humanity has been on the brink several times, as anyone who studies history knows. However, when people start in a land. Basically, they are under bondage. We are always under bondage. And people can relate to this if you think of things like Robin Hood, King Arthur, and the kings and the queens and the lords. You had your wealthy and you had your serfs. And that was it. There was no middle ground. There's no middle class. If you were an entrepreneur, they took most of what you had anyways, right? So you really didn't have your own business or any of that. So people were in bondage to these people. And what happens when you're in bondage for so long, generations of it, creates a spirituality. It creates kind of this need for getting out from under. So what you do is you develop a faith. You develop a belief system that says, okay, we're going to get out from under this yoke because we're people and we believe that we're not meant to be subjugated to this kind of nonsense, right? So you take that spiritual faith. And after a few generations, that spiritual faith becomes true, great courage. It develops the courage within you, within that mental process of life that says that I'm here, I'm alive, and I'm allowed to live my life, right? So that great courage then in generations of people and in multitudes of people develops into liberty. That liberty, then you're free. You can remove that yoke of the kings and queens and those people that are above you. And now all of a sudden you have that liberty, you have the freedom, and that creates your abundance. Your abundance, everybody has a little bit of everything. Some people have a little more, some have a little less, but the bottom line is there's abundance for everybody. And if you work hard enough, you should be able to get some of that. And capitalism kind of provided that vehicle for that middle class to do that. Mm-hmm. So that abundance, however, what happens after a few generations of the abundance is the complacency sets in because you've had generations where everything is just fine. And so people then don't get involved in that spiritual faith and that building up of getting rid of the yoke because there's been no yoke. You don't need to battle those things and develop that spiritual faith to fight against the evil rulers of darkness. So we end up with complacency, and that complacency then turns into apathy, where this country has been for many years. Apathy, right? When you have 25, in my case, in 2006, when I ran for provincial NPP in Ontario, 27% of the people showed up to vote. 73% of the people stayed home. That's what I call apathy. That's what I call we are in that state. We are there. Right. Mm. Where most of the people sit at home and say, you know what? It's only one vote. What does it matter? What does it matter if I do? I'm glad somebody else is doing it for me. Blah, blah, blah. So and it's evident right now in our society, because what are you hearing from Justin Trudeau, for example? You're hearing we're going to have a universal basic income. That is the dependency that the government wants. And as soon as they hook us into that dependency, it won't be very long, another generation or two, and we're right back to the bondage where we started.
I don't think it would take that long. Once they've got that, they've got us by the shorties, buddy. And, exactly. And if people fall for that, then I don't know what to say, because you're correct. If they're paying your income, what kind of control does that give them over society? You know, they're ramming this vaccine down our throats right now at light speed, Jürgen. Absolute insanity that society is rolling up their sleeves, that people are willingly rolling up their sleeves to take this vaccine. It just shows you the level of cognitive dissonance in our society. I mean, my God, folks, vaccines, we all know there's controversy involved with vaccines. We've heard it for years. Whether you're anti-vax or vax, there's controversy, and there's lots of it. And that alone should be enough to spark you into investigating what they're doing with this vaccine, how fast it's being brought in on us, the fact that they're not even doing animal studies, which is the basics for any vaccine that comes on the market, have to go through animal studies. And they bypass this because of this perceived medical emergency, which, you know, guys, is no more than a bad flu, period. What a joke. It's just, I can't believe people are, I'm driving around in town, Jürgen, and people are walking down the streets with masks over their face. And I'm going, what is gone in my world? What is really happening here? Are people that stupid Jurgen? Are they that apathetic? Well, Canada is a very, very apathetic country. We've never really experienced turmoil in Canada. We've always had it kind of easy. You know, there's always been the corner grocery store and the gas station. Everybody's had jobs. Everybody's had money. But you're going to see that change very quickly, Jurgen. And people, I don't know how they're going to deal with that, because there is massive change coming. And you know what? I know it. Especially if Biden's allowed to hold power for any length of period of time. Period. He's destroying it quickly.
Yeah. You know, for decades, we wondered what it would take for people to wake up, right? How can people support calls for violence, for example? How can people support someone like Maxine Waters when she stands on her podium and says, you know, in the restaurants and department stores and gasoline stations, go and attack these people, right? And so who votes for these people? Eric Holder says, when they go low, we're going to kick them. Hillary Clinton says, civility will return when we get our power back. So these people, we know it's all about power, right? So the questions I have for everyone, what does it take for you to wake up? Is it when the left wants to abandon the presumption of innocence? Is that when you wake up? Did you see what they did to Brett Kavanaugh? Is that when they wake up? No. When one lone accuser can be manipulated for entire political gain, like this entire hoax with George Floyd, the man having five funerals with a gold casket. Martin Luther King only had two funerals. Are you kidding me? What has happened to society? When those who point the finger at conservatives, but they let a guy like Keith Ellison slide for his stuff, or how about Joe Biden with Tara Reid? How come they're letting him slide? How come they let Bill Clinton slide? And people still vote for these people? When they stood up and roared in approval of awards for Roman Polanski, who raped a 13-year-old, he got a standing ovation from Meryl Streep. Does that not wake you up? How about when they knew about for years and they covered Harvey Weinstein? Everybody knows that it's been covered up for years and they still support the same people. How about the people that supported Jeffrey Epstein? They still get supported by the same people. So what the heck is going on, right? They've known about Weinstein for years. They knew about Epstein. Borders are wide open and people are forced to pay not only in dollars, but in the mental anguish of a wide open country. How about when multiple girls get groped in a public swimming pool and the guy walks away unpunished? Is that when you wake up? How about when the press does its best to cover all that up? Is that when you wake up? How about, do you wake up when pedophiles have massive audience children's TV shows? Is that when you wake up? How about when some pedophiles hang out with presidents and have secret islands with tunnels and torture rooms and have submarines? They have so much money. Is that when you wake up? How about when social media giants side with the left to stifle free speech? Is that when you wake up, whether you're on the right or the left? How about when one president gets the peace prize before he's in office, but another president has four major peace deals in the Middle East alone and doesn't get any recognition? Is that when you wake up? How about when the norms of all of society are shifting against you and they tell you you can't even pray to your own God, you can't even go to church anymore, when you know there's something wrong but you just can't figure it out, right? When the sleep you had once that you once had is so totally evasive, is that when you wake up? When is a better time for all of humanity to rise up than right now? All of these questions, on each one of these alone, people should have woken up. Each one of these separately has a merit on its own for people to say, I will resist the shackles of the left and turn to a more libertarian, true liberal sense of life, which we've lost sense of.
We have, Rod.
It's all in the language. It's in the language. They've distorted it. A liberal is not a liberal. He's a darn communist, and that's what it is.
Exactly.
Pierre Trudeau was a communist. That was 1968 when he entered the Liberal Party as a known communist. He was a card-carrying member of the Communist Party. And he was one of the three wise men to save this confederation, and now we're in this frickin' mess.
He was a card-carrying Malthusianist, you know, globalist to the core, man. Attendee at the Bilderberg meetings, all kinds of dirty stuff on Pierre. You know, it's funny, Jurgen, my dad, I would have been about 13 or 14 years old, I think, when Trudeau first started coming around. And my dad said to me, and I sit now and I marvel at his wonder, at his knowledge. Because he said to me then, he said, you know, Barry, this new prime minister is going to destroy this country, that he will turn Canada into a communist country in two or three generations. My dad said this to me, and here we are. And here we are today. He knew all about them. And I just kind of, course, being a young, whippy, snappy kid, I just shrugged it off. But yeah. That rings so true in my ears today, that conversation he had with me about Pierre Elliott Trudeau and the dangers that were coming to Canada because this guy was now our prime minister. It still resonates in my ears today. But all that being said, we are in a time right now where people cannot sit that if we allow this to keep going, that we are going to lose all of our freedoms. And they're very, very quickly taking them away right now, folks. What they're doing to this country right now, if that doesn't have you in tears, what is going on to our children? The rise in child suicides, man. Under 16 years of age, we have seen an increase in Canada of approximately, I want to make sure I get the numbers right because I looked at them a couple days ago, you're an 800% increase in suicides amongst children or young adults under the age of 16 years since the onset of this scamdemic in Canada. 800% increase, folks. And that's just suicides. We talk about what's done to families, with the turmoil in families, the stress. I'm seeing it in my society. I said in the first hour here, Jürgen, that I had to stop a business relationship with a lady here in town that I've been friends with, that we've had great conversations over the years, done lots of business with her. We had to part paths yesterday over a mask because she just absolutely doesn't want me around her because I don't follow the rules. And you talk any kind of knowledge or any kind of truth to these people, it's like they just you completely shut off. They do not want to hear anything but what they hear when they go home at night, turn on CBC, drink that Kool-Aid, and go to bed. I'm seeing it affect lots of people in my society now. And we're just a little town up here in northern British Columbia. I can't imagine what it's doing to people in big cities where they're locked down 24/7. It's just insanity, Jürgen. It's got to come to a stop, my friend. Go ahead. Jürgen, did I lose you? Hello, Jürgen.
Hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. We lost you there for a sec.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
I don't know what happened. Yeah, your volume went dead. But anyways, you know what's going on with our kids? You know, Jürgen, that's what drives me the most crazy of all. This is what's happening to our children, how they're isolating them in school, how children aren't being allowed to interact with each other. This is the most important time in their lives for them to build social interaction with other people, children of their own age. You take that away from them, and what are you doing to these kids? The trauma that they're being exposed to, Jürgen, for nothing, the fear that's being put into their little hearts over nothing, it's absolute criminal, and it's got to come to a stop, my friend. Go ahead.
Yeah, I totally agree. I have 5 grandchildren all under the age of 7. And let me tell you, it's a concern of mine every single day what their future holds. And that's why I continue to fight. And that's why I continue to be very vocal. And they'll have to rip out my vocal cords in order to stop me.
Amen.
And I'm going to say it the way it is, the way I feel. We've come to a place. Right now, we're being treated like children, left, right, and center. We're no longer cherished as we're told that we have no culture or real identity anymore. Only irregular foreign travelers are given respect, right? Yay for ISIS, boo for our own soldiers. Every pride parade must be attended. Veterans are neglected and murderers are put in healing lodges. There's lesser sentences for serious crimes. We've reduced the age of consent. Who voted for new bestiality laws, right? Can we find out which citizens demanded this? Leftists are allowed any form of deceit as long as the end justifies the means, right? So we have death culture enhancement, ugly art to confuse reality and perception, eugenicists and pedophiles aplenty in the halls of power, indoctrination, not education. And this battle is internal, as in all Western nations. Hopefully more of the world is waking up. Those that are asleep, I fear that not enough of them are. If you saw that inauguration, which felt like more like a funeral, it looked like the Hunger Games. You know, it really did. When you saw how people were kind of separated, it was boring, it was cold, there was no joy in it. I found so many discrepancies in that whole inaugural process, like the soldiers with their backs to the president. How come there was no 21-gun salute? How come no airplane picked him up to bring him to the Capitol? All these things that happened.
Why do you fly in a private jet?
Well, yeah.
That's a big question, isn't it?
What is that all about, right? That kind of tells me that maybe he's not in power. Maybe this is all just a play that we're forced to watch. Maybe everybody's been given a role. You play this role for a lesser sentence. Instead of getting executed, we're going to give you life in Guantanamo if you continue to play your role in this game, in this movie that we're watching, because none of it is real. None of it seems real. If you look at the executive orders he's signing, there's nothing written on the paper. When you look at some of the pictures, you look at the pictures in the Oval Office and there's a parking lot outside the window. There's no parking lot outside the Oval Office. There's just so many discrepancies in all of that.
I know. I was looking at a bunch of them and I'm going, huh? What's going on here, guys?
It makes no sense.
None of it makes any sense. No, it doesn't. Roger, I mean, the first hour there, I kind of put it to Roger, what kind of mechanism is in place right now to actually remove this guy from office? And I believe that the only mechanism in place that could do that would be military.
It's military, an actual military
removal of the president under, lots of different violations. I mean, the level of corruption in this election, the fact that it's gotten to this point, it just astounds me. It really does.
The fact it shows their level of desperation.
Well, it's not only that, Jurgen, but if it was just a little bit of fraud here and there, a few votes here and there, a few votes there and there, but this is just right off the charts. We're talking about millions and millions and millions of votes that Trump was the president. He was duly elected, and it was stolen from him. And we're at this point now where you have an unelected president, the most evil man in the world that we could be sitting in that position with his vice president and all the little clonies around him right now that are just licking their lips and rubbing their hands together because they got nobody that's going to stop anything that they want to implement to destroy our society further in the next 4 years if this is not stopped. So we're really in a big pile of hurt right now. I'm kind of shocked. I really am, Jurgen, that it's gotten to this point. It's been a bit, like I said, it's been a bit of an emotional roller coaster for me. I really honestly thought that the judicial system, with the levels of evidence of fraud, that this would have come to an end before he was inaugurated. But here he is sitting in the Oval Office. And whether it's all a sham or not, the fact that he's sitting in there right now, it makes me puke, buddy, if it's real. Like you said, we don't even know if it's real. It could be all a big charade. There's so many irregularities that none of us know for sure what's going on. But it hasn't been an easy couple weeks for me, my friend, to be quite honest. At all.
Well, I think anyone with any kind of moral integrity whatsoever hasn't had a pleasant week in watching the events unfold that we've watched unfold. That's for certain. However, I'm of the position that I have to stay positive. I refuse to believe that what we are seeing is real. I liken it to watching regular television. Not a single thing of it is real. We've watched the implementation of subliminal advertising over the last 50 to 60 years that has just reached over the top. I remember when I was a boy and I would go to matinees on a Saturday at the Mayfair Theater, which was close to where I lived. And they used to have in their movies, they would give these subliminal blips, right, where you would see a thing of Coca-Cola right in the movie, but you couldn't see it. It just your subconscious would gather it, right? And then, of course, you'd go to the lobby and you'd buy a Coke. Now, I remember at the time in the 60s, I remember there was huge media uproar of this being allowed to happen in the movies, okay? And then I remember a bunch of whoever was in charge saying, okay, we're going to make sure that this subliminal type of stuff never happens again, and it disappeared off the radar. Nobody ever talked about subliminal advertising ever again. It was gone. But when you think of it now, they've taken it from just the plain advertising to every aspect of the programming. That's right. How far they've gotten into that propaganda, which started as a little blip in a movie to being part of the movie, in the dialogue, in the visuals. Climate change is in every show. Gender identity is in every program, in every sitcom. Dads are bad. The men are stupid. All of this.
Transgenders in every TV ad I see now.
Every TV ad. Single one.
What is this, folks? What?
It's What's time going on, to stop.
Jürgen? It's everywhere now. You know why? Because people aren't standing up against it. That people just go along to get along. They figure somebody else is going to fix the problem. Well, I'm telling you, boy, it is really getting out of hand. And what I've seen lately just on mainstream, it shocks me, Jürgen. Go ahead. It really does.
Yeah, well, it's the programming, and the programming is almost complete, right? The problem is that they didn't expect Trump to come along, so it threw a blip into everything, and it kind of disrupted their timing, and that's why they're kind of off pace. And here's what I'm thinking. If you're in a chess match, okay, the early moves don't matter much. What matters much is the end moves. And what's very critical to know that in a chess match, there's only limited moves, right? And what I'm thinking is that the deep state is almost run out of moves. I'm thinking that we're just about in the end stage of the white hats making their play for a checkmate. I think this is happening. I heard a report the other day where there is somewhere right now in the United States over 400,000 indictments. But what they've done in the Justice Department or in the with the military is they've taken those indictments and reduced them down to the 190,000 they feel are the most important, because that's the ones that they have room for, and those are the people that are at the top. Now, from the sources that I've seen and heard and read, apparently some of the fewer lower ranks have already been arrested, and those people are singing like they've never sung before. So they're building their way up to the higher ranking ones. Now, whether or not this is going to go through based on where we see the Supreme Court of the United States, based on the deception of this John Roberts. But I think things are going to come out that are going to reveal who he really is as well. There's some very, very sick stuff going on with that man.
Oh, and, boy, is there ever.
Oh, yeah. Boy, man. Is he compromised or what?
He is compromised and connected right up to the hilt.
Oh, boy. Big time,
and,
right?
He's just another one of the weirdos that are running our world right now, and there's lots of them.
I got to believe this stuff is all going to come out, Barry. I got to believe that. I can't believe the opposite. You get to the best.
I'm going to try and stay positive on it, okay, Jürgen? I really am, but I really hope it comes out. I pray for the sake of freedom on this planet, any form of freedom that we have a chance at in the future, this has to come out. If it doesn't, then we all are going to be living under a communistic corporaticity within 3 or 4 or 5 years. I honestly believe that. So we have to stop this. This is a battle that we can't lose. But I'm concerned, of course. I want to be positive about it, buddy. I really am trying to stay positive. But then I've also seen things that have gotten by in government over the years that should never gotten by. And is the same thing going to happen here? I don't know. Hopefully not, but I'm going to have to sit and wait, and hopefully we'll see some real movement here in the next couple of weeks, Jürgen, where we're seeing some of this stuff come down. That actual stuff is reported, and we know that progress is being made. Then I think I'll rest a little easier. Right now, buddy, I'm being quite honest, I'm not resting well, because I know what's at stake for the future of this planet right now, if this is allowed to go on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. It's a very, very tough time. It's very hard for people to stay into that positive cycle, but that's certainly where we need to be if we plan to beat this. Negativity will only get us into a darker place. I think, you know, what I see happening, though, is sort of an insurrection, a place where people can go. Before I forget, I have a note here that I wanted to mention if I could. If people want to understand a little bit of eugenics and Fabianism, I suggest they go to YouTube and look up a guy named George Bernard Shaw. Okay, under YouTube, you'll find he's got a few videos there. There's one that's about 5 minutes long, maybe 4 or 5, 6 minutes, something like that. And it explains how he would like to see, along with all other Fabian eugenicists, how we would like to see people set up panels, and then everyone in society would be forced to report to this panel on their usefulness to society. And if they have no usefulness, they will be denied all services. This is where the Fabians and the eugenicists want us to be. Now, the reason why I bring up this guy, George Bernard Shaw, is because when I was a boy and going to high school in the 60s, George Bernard Shaw was a revered author that we were told to study. We were told this is one of the leading authors and men that we should revere, and his writing and all this stuff is something to be adulated, right? So we did. But now if you look at this if you look at this video that he's got out there telling people how they need to stand in front of this panel to justify their existence to be able to get any services, it brings chills up and down your spine. Now, this video was made probably about 80 years ago, sometime in the 30s or 40s. So you can imagine the advancement of these people in their positions of power, the authors that they've allowed. You know, I've always wondered how come this guy gets his book published and that guy doesn't. Right? How come this guy gets that movie role and that guy doesn't? You know, all of it is a fix. Every single bit of it is a fix. So, anyhow, we're in a movie, I believe, Barry. You know, we're in the end stages, though. I really think that because of this guy, what was his name? Rutherford Hayes was the 19th president of the United States. Rutherford Hayes followed Ulysses S. Grant. Ulysses S. Grant was the 18th president. He was president for two terms, and he tried to get a third term in there, but the Republican, the GOP, the party, rejected him and brought in this Rutherford Hayes under some very, very sketchy inner workings, much like what's happening to Trump today. That's why there's a lot of stuff going out there. They believe that Rutherford Hayes was the first president to be inaugurated as the first president of the United Corporation of the United States. Ulysses S. Grant was the last president of the Republic of the United States of America. Mm. So Rutherford Hayes being the 19th president, he's actually the first president of the new
corporation.
Remolded, right? So in reality, what I think is going to happen here because of this election fraud and because how big it is, okay, what you're seeing now is you're not hearing from Sidney Powell. You're not hearing from Giuliani very much. You're certainly not hearing from Jake Sekulow, right? And that's the main lawyer for Trump, Jake Sekulow. Right. You haven't heard a word from him. What do you think is going on behind the scenes here? Does anybody out there think that Trump's a loser, that Trump's going to take this lying down, that for 5 years they've gone after his family? You think this guy's going to take it lying down? You think he's just going to crawl into his bed and hide his head and let them continue to attack him and impeach him once more without him fighting back? Then you don't know Donald Trump. And he's got at least 100 million Americans behind him, at least. There's no way this guy's giving up. And I believe by March the 5th, you're going to see Donald Trump declared the 19th president of the Republic of the United States of America. That's what I think is going to happen. That's what I got to believe. And if it doesn't happen, well, then so be it. I was wrong. But in the meantime, I'm going to live that truth because it's going to help me sleep at night.
I've heard a lot of people share the sentiments that you're sharing with me right now, Jurgen. So it'll be interesting to see this go forward. I'm just praying to God that no matter what happens, Joe Biden and their whole clone of bad guys is taken out of there and not allowed to run the most powerful country in the world. Because if they are, we're in so much trouble, folks. I don't even want to go there. So I'll try and stay positive. I'm being quite honest about myself, Jurgen. I know I have to stay positive right now, but I'm telling you, in the last couple of weeks, it's been hard for me, buddy. But I know when I get into conversations with people like you and a few other people that I've had conversations with today, you know, I'm back on track. I never really was off track, just a little bit confused, a little bit disappointed, and a little bit depressed about the whole thing. But prayer seems to fix that for me, and I'm saying lots of that right now. Lots.
Yeah.
We are in crazy times, my friend. But we knew this, you know, Jurgen, if we go back 3 or 4 years ago on our shows, And I think, you know, I don't know how long we've been doing shows. It's been quite a while now, but you know, we go back and listen to the conversations we had 3 or 4 years ago. It's ironic how much of what's going on right now we actually talked about. Maybe not in exact words, but in you know, basically, we were hitting on what's going to happen in the future, how they're going to come down on society, how they will bring society under control, and the different mechanisms that they could possibly use to do that. And we see all that kind of playing out. Not that we're trying to be vindicated or anything, but we kind of read the playbook and we understood where they were going. A lot of society still doesn't get it. They still think that everything's fine, that politicians will solve the problems, that sure, there's a little bit of corruption here and a little bit of corruption there, but they'll always be able to turn on the light switch and there'll always be a grocery store to go to and they'll always have a job. And boy, when that changes, you're going to really see chaos erupt in our society. And we're not very far away from that right now, Jürgen. Really close. One big major collapse or one major false flag could really bring society back into line, couldn't it? And you know, they've used false flags many, many times in history to bring society under control. Of course, 9/11 was the biggest example of that. But the Gulf of Tonkin incident, Maine, I mean, the list of false flags that we could talk about and the results of those false flags, well, they always end up achieving the same result. And right now, that could play into what they want to do right now to bring society back under control. Go ahead, my friend. That's my rant for a minute.
Yeah, we are being treated as patients as if we are all sick. And from my point of view, quarantine is when you quarantine sick people. In a pandemic, that's what you should do. You don't quarantine the entire population. So it creates high-grade daily stress, extreme psychological concerns for everybody, right? And I guess the end game is complete dependency on Big Brother. So what we're seeing is the beginning of the, you know, they had movies called The Hunger Games. We're seeing the Corona Games have started. And as we see, those that are deemed essential are determined by a ruling class. So we've got a ruling class that determines who is essential and who isn't. So, of course, their friends will be deemed essential. Normal lives this way are completely destroyed and discarded as non-essential. But really, they're the ones that are the backbone of any societal structure. Small business is the essence of the middle class, and those are the ones that are biggest targets in this war, right? So what we're seeing, I think, people are becoming bestial as we're basing our survival on emotions rather than rational thinking. The critical thinking aspect is gone. We're blindly following leaders, even though they're wrong. We still follow them, and none of them can get fired for anything, right? And politicians and media constantly feeding the fear machine that drives the cult following of unreasonable actions by usually rational human beings. So We're watching as many leaders defy their own edicts in public, restaurants and hair salons, as they tell their people to stay at home, right? They flaunt their power and laugh at us, escaping any kind of judgment. They give us shallow apologies that are given to the media, and they quickly move on. It's a torture of our consciousness, and we must not allow it any measure of thought. Otherwise, we fall into group complacency to get along and just not make waves. We should all just reject the masks right now. Just reject them. There's nothing they could do if everybody just threw their damn mask away. There's not a darn thing they could do, pardon my language. You know, I mean, this is crazy. They told us in the spring masks were no good. Then in the summer when it's really hot, you got to wear your mask so that everybody in the fall could get more sick. And what do we see? We see the numbers go up even though people wore their masks. What a joke.
Well, if you want people to get sick, of course, that plays into the agenda, doesn't it? So what do you do? You tell them you got to put on a mask. Exactly. And then all of a sudden we're starting to see rises in black mold and bacterial pneumonia numbers are going up. All kinds of respiratory problems in children are all of a sudden starting to show up as they're being forced to wear these masks at school in their little cubicles. And, of course, you know, what a better way to get people sick. And, of course, the more sicker they're going to get, the longer we can enforce the emergency medical lockdowns that we see. And if we told them that we never, ever intend to release these lockdowns, that these are going to go on forever, they would rebel. So, of course, we only tell them 1 month at a time, every month on the 8th. Oh, we're into another month of emergency lockdown, guys. Do you think this is ever going to go away, folks? It will never go away unless people stand up and say no. But that's a problem in Canada. I still don't see the numbers. I still go to the grocery stores and Walmart and every one of them is wearing masks, except for me. I'm the only guy that walks into the grocery store without a mask on. And now I can see society looking at me like, hey, what's wrong with that guy? Is he threatening my health? Some people are actually starting to think that way. Well, if you got a mask on, what are you worried about? You got nothing to worry about, right? It's crazy, Jürgen. But it's just teaching people to comply. Be good little citizens, excuse my language, good little citizens. Do as we say. Don't question us. We got it under control. And unfortunately, a majority of the people out there seem to be going along with this, Jürgen. We got to wake them up. And I try every day. I do. I try and hit them with actual facts. I ask people, tell me, show me one mask on the market today. And I've said, people, look, I'll give you $1,000 here right now on the spot. If you can prove to me, beyond a shadow of a doubt, medically backed up information that state that these masks have any effect on this so-called virus, which to me is just a flu virus anyways, but has any effect on this virus in any shape or form. They don't want to hear that. They just walk away. But here we are, all wearing masks, covering your faces and knowing your places. It's all about control and compliance, buddy. We know that. And it's crazy that people can't think for themselves. Go ahead.
And it's if the controllers knew this was coming, because just before this all started, they gave themselves a big fat raise. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we're all in this together, Jürgen. We have taken our paychecks every 2 weeks. Nothing stopped for us. We're still living in our mansions, being driven around by our chauffeurs with our armed guards. Come on, guys. Life is fine. You guys just got to make a few sec. It doesn't matter if we fly out of the country at Christmas, because we're special. You guys stay home. Lock yourself up. Don't visit your families, because if you do, we're going to send the police to your house. Meanwhile, we'll just jump on a plane and take off to the Caribbean, because we're way better than you guys. You better learn that quick, eh? What a joke, Jürgen. What a joke.
We're surrounded by lies, obfuscation, omission, corruption, and the malfeasance of all sorts, and yet the general population stay entranced and complacent. It's unbelievable. Those outside the circle of steady pay are losing everything, and yet everybody walks around as if everything is fine, and we got to continue to listen to these losers. Right? It's crippling. It certainly is. And it can be debilitating for people who have no support systems in this very trying time, that's for sure. I'm very glad and very happy to have a big family unit that is able to support me, and that is what we need right now. We need to share the love. We need to spread the love. That's what's going to defeat these people, because they can't stand that. They can't stand the family unit. Here's the thing I'd like to bring up. Okay, you've got these politicians in the United States, someone like this, what's her name, Dianne Feinstein, okay? 87 or 88 years old. She's already put in her papers to run again in 2024. Okay, so that she's going to be 90 years old. So she'll be 94 years old when she finishes that stint. Now, you tell me, anybody. I'm a 71-year-old grandfather, and my best times are spent with my grandchildren. You've got someone that's turning 90 that still wants to be in power, that would rather be in Washington than be with their grandchildren at that stage in their life when they know they're going to be dropping any day, and they're still more concerned with power than being with their family, then we know we've got a problem. Mm-hmm. We know we've got people who are way more concerned with playing with you and me than they are with playing with their own grandchildren. And when I say playing with you and me, I mean playing with you and me in terms of our rights, in terms of our money, in terms of our way of life, in terms of every aspect of our life that they get to steal and they get to wallow in while they tell us we're not allowed to do certain things. Enough is enough. Why do these people need to continue on into their 90s with this power? It's enough to drive me insane. It makes absolutely no sense unless they have totally corrupt and immoral things on their mind, rather than being with their darn grandchildren at that time in their life, or great-grandchildren. They probably have great-great-grandchildren. They live so long, these people. It's disgusting to me.
It really, it does. The power corrupts. Power consumes. It consumes every part of your life. Man. And we know that. We've seen that in dictators. We've seen it in people that have tried to rule the world in the history of this planet. And really, if we look at 1937 Germany, that's exactly where we are today. You know, everything that was going on in Germany in 1937 is happening.
Germany. May I just interject there? In 1933, they burnt down the Reichstag, which was the start of Adolf Hitler's reign. Okay, used that attack on the Reichstag exactly the same way they used the attack on the Capitol. It's identical if you study history.
It is. It's a playbook.
And it they is. It.
Yes. But people don't realize that. They've done the same thing over and over and over again. Why, Jürgen? Because it works.
It works.
So why would you go away from it?
Exactly.
If it's got a proven track record, you just use the same agenda over and over again because you know society's going to react and respond the exact same way they have in the past. You look at what Hitler did to his own people prior to World War II, how he turned the children in Germany against his parents, how he segregated yep. society, how he took same the thing. Guns away, took the guns away from the citizens.
Same thing.
Well, what
here.
Have we got going on in Canada? Imagine that, eh? Nothing
Imagine
to see
that.
There. Nothing to see there, Jürgen. And people are going to buy this gun buyback? I mean, Canadian, us legal gun owners are bad people? I mean, we know that all the crime in Canada being done by guns, or 95% of it's being done with guns that come in illegally and are being done by gangs. But yeah, they're going to turn in their guns, aren't they? And they're going to follow the new laws. It's absolute crock taking guns away from people. But it's not about keeping society safe, folks. It's about disarming your general population, so when you go rogue on them, they don't have a method to defend themselves. They've done it in the past. They're doing it right now again. Everything follows the manifesto to the T. Or the Rules for Radical. There's one to read. And those are two books that I have read. It's Rules for Radical, and I've read the Communist Manifesto. Yeah. And it really kind of crosses the T's and dots the I's exactly what's going on today, man. I suggest people read those. Go ahead.
It is. It's a playbook. And it just amazes me. That with the computers the way they are, and I'm an old man and you're an old man, and we have access
hey,
to
wait a second. Information.
Hold on. Okay, sorry, you're not. Buddy, sorry.
66 sorry. Going on 21, okay?
Okay.
So I don't know what you're drinking, but I'm drinking Chaga. Go ahead.
I apologize. just don't want to disturb. Okay, do you get to shave your peach fuzz later today or what?
Go ahead.
Now I forgot where I was. I think, you know, Barry, the biggest thing that we need to do is we need to take the mantle of power back, because people have forgot that we are the ones that have the power. It's as simple as that. We forgot that we have the power. These clowns do not have the power. And I'm reminded of the French Revolution, where they went up to the castle and they dragged them off the throne and they used the guillotine. And I'm sorry, we don't have to use a guillotine, but we certainly have time for some civil disobedience to show them that we're not very happy with what's going on. But the problem is, it goes back to what I said earlier. We're in that stage between apathy and dependence, and some of the people, and some Canadians specifically, are sitting at home waiting for that check and can't wait to say, oh my gosh, I'm going to get
He started with the CERB programs, Jürgen. I mean, yeah. I got people in town here that go, wow, this is great. I've been home now for 6 or 7 months. I've gotten 5 or 6 checks for $2,000. I don't have to go anywhere. I can just sit home. I'm actually making more money than I'm going to work, because I don't have to go to work. None of this costs, blah, 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 blah. I get to sit and play video games all day long with their buddies. Isn't that great? I mean, these guys really got it figured out, Jürgen, and people are buying this crap. And, of course, now they're going to come in with the universal basic income. Well, that's a great idea. All these lazy pukes that don't know what it's like to earn a dollar are just going to gobble this up. And, of course, along comes the mandates that go with it. This vaccine, boy, that's what scares me the most, because, of course, they're saying it's not going to be mandatory. It's not going to be mandatory. But you will not be able to function in society in a couple of years if you don't have the vaccine card. That's where they're going with it. You know it. I know it, Jürgen. It's just bull. Bull. And people are gobbling it up. Go ahead. Oh, we lost him again. If we don't hear you again, Jürgen, I don't know what happened. You're hitting your mic button, or maybe you're muting. Nope, no volume from Jürgen, so I don't know what happened to you there, bud. Huh.
That is kind of weird. Shows him in the call.
All of a sudden he dropped. He was there, and now he's gone. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
My Skype is doing weird stuff too, Steve. Oh, it is.
It's not just your
Skype. Jürgen, are you back yet? Or can you hear us? Maybe I'll have to hang up and come back in again. Because we're not hearing anything if you're trying to talk to us right now. Okay, well, anyways, we'll see if Jürgen gets back in a minute here, Steve. But what do you think about the vaccines that are being rolled out right now? What's your thoughts on that, buddy?
Oh.
Because they're sure ramming them up our throats.
Oh, I think they're delicious and nutritious.
And everybody should have at least 3 of them.
That's right. A week.
Coming from who? Bill Gates?
Yeah. He's got several PhDs in medicine. Jürgen, why don't you drop out and then try to turn your video on so others can see you. No, I don't want to do that. I don't know why that just popped up. But
why did that come up, man? The last thing you want to do is see my face, man. I mean, I don't have any mirrors left in my house, Steve. I've had to sneak up on them and keep breaking them.
Right.
So I've given up. But I don't know what happened to Jürgen, what happened to his volume here. But if you're hearing us, Jürgen, we're not hearing you. So if you do hear us, maybe you want to hang up, and we'll try and pull you back in again or something.
Yeah, just hang up and try to come back in.
If you hear us, Jürgen.
I think he does.
I don't even know if he's hearing us or not. I don't see anything in chat. But anyways, we're down to about...
Did you notice... 5 minutes. Yeah. Well, in like about 3 or 4 minutes till your break or whatever. But did you notice... did you have Messenger on your phone?
Yes, I do. Yeah. No, he's back. There you go.
Are you there, Jürgen?
Can you hear us?
Hello?
Still, we're not getting volume from you, buddy. Hello? I don't know what's going on there. It's pretty annoying.
Yes.
Because I know you're in the room.
A couple days ago, I accessed my Messenger, and it went poof. It said I was timed out. And it...
timed out.
Made me sign in. Yeah. Session expired.
No, I didn't see anything like that.
I don't know. Like if you're on a web page and you go away for 2 days or something and try to come back to it. And
hello, we're going to try again.
Yeah, I got you now.
Jürgen. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you guys. Can you hear me?
Well, yeah. We weren't getting any volume out of you for the last 3 or 4 minutes there. So
goodness.
We've been just kind of winging it, hoping you could get back in. We're down to about 7 minutes left in the show anyways, Jürgen, but I'm glad you could get back in.
Right on. Okay, so...
So what were we talking about? We only got about 5 or 6 minutes left here. You're going to have to shut the show out again. But share a few more thoughts with us about what we're talking about, and if you're going to continue with your social media, where you're going with social media, what you're doing with that, and blah blah blah. Go ahead, my friend.
Well, my social media has been shut down on Facebook for 60 days. They shut down my news page. The whole news page is wiped out against the grain news you're not supposed to know. They also wiped out my personal page, but this morning I got back in for some reason. I don't know what they're doing, what kind of games they're playing. But however, I'm going to force them to kick me off again. I'm going to keep going after Joe Biden. It's my mission now to do the same thing to him, what they did to Donald Trump. But, you know, carrying on with where I was before we lost volume here, as far as people go and our freedoms, you know, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. It's your right to choose that, right? If you want to avoid large crowds, avoid large crowds. Don't go to any place outside. But I am not required to descend into poverty for you so you can feel safe. I'm not required to abstain from human contact for you so that you feel safe either. And I refuse to participate in quarantine life until there's an unsafe, untested vaccine released, right? I refuse to receive a vaccine to make others feel more safe because that's my sovereign right to choose. If you're convinced a vaccine is safe and effective, go ahead and get it yourself, but don't come after me because I don't want to take it. Some of you are allowing fear and policies devoid of scientifically accurate data to destroy the country you live in and ruin your life. We have a constitutional right to take risks in our life, and my life is my choice. I can decide whether or not to jump off that tall cliff into the water. It's my choice. It's my life. Remember, for years, what we've heard is my body, my choice in killing babies. Well, guess what? You're not going to kill me with jabbing a needle into my arm. It's my body, my choice. And like my beautiful wife likes to say, they tried to kill me once, the government of Canada, and I'm not giving them a chance to do it again because they tried to kill her with the tainted blood scandal, as you know. And she knows very well the intricacies of an evil government and how evil government works and how evil government is not your friend. And anyone out there who thinks that government is your friend, you better get your head out of the sand because it is not your friend. And if you're going to sit there and say, I don't get involved in politics, well, that's too bad for us because politics is going to get involved with you. And because you're not involved in politics, it affects me. And because of that, it affects my grandchildren. And because of that, now you're on to me.
You're part of the problem if you're not part of the solution, folks. That's the bottom line, that there is no in-between here. that
stop allowing the government to destroy the food supply, small businesses, medical autonomy, access to health care, mass gatherings, privacy rights, and our mental health and freedom. Stop it.
Watch your time now, Barry.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, we're down to about 4 minutes here, Jürgen. As always, you know, it's great to have you in. I love having you in because of your ability to your memory, because I don't have that kind of memory where you can just pull up lots of names that I've heard them all, understand what's going on, but you have an incredible ability to do that. So it's always a pleasure to have you in. I love your rants, buddy. I love your passion, and I look forward to talking to you again in the very, very near future. As long as we're allowed to do that, Jürgen, they could be coming after the internet here real hard in the next little while, especially with the so-called Biden in power right now. The attack on the internet, I think, is going to really ramp up. We know Trudeau's talking about it right now, completely censoring the internet. That is on their playbook for sure. They want to shut down all communication between all conservatives. So hopefully we'll be able to carry these conversations on in the near future. I don't know where it's going. I know it's not going to a good place right now if it keeps going down this line, that's for sure. Last thoughts from you, Jürgen, and I'll let you go, my friend.
You know, it's awfully strange to think that conservatism is the new underground. You just never in my wildest dreams growing up in the 60s and listening to the introduction of rock and roll music and everything that happened with the advent of the 60s love generation and all of that, and how it's changed and morphed into this communistic ideal utopian belief that government can create this utopian society. That's our problem. We need to realize governments create nothing. They only take from the people that do create. And when we start to realize that, then maybe we can get a grip on this again. And it's time to take it over. And one way we can do that is you elect Jürgen Wallrath as president of the CBC. I will make sure communication goes out that is proper for the Canadian people, not the garbage they're being fed now. So please elect me. I'm running for the head of the CBC. Hey. And I'm not running in any legal circles. I'm running with the people of Canada. It's up to you, folks. You can put me there because it belongs to you.
You've got my vote, Jürgen. Absolutely. Boy, that would shake up the CBC, wouldn't it?
Oh, hey.
There'd be some fur flying down there couple days, man, I'll tell you.
The first order of business when I'm head of the CBC, every employee will be instructed to write me a one-page letter, either two or three paragraphs, explaining why I should keep them on in a corporation that has lied to the Canadian people for at least 50 years. Why should I let you keep your job?
You'd be getting rid of a lot of employees, Jürgen, and that would be a good day for Canada.
You're darn right.
Okay, buddy. Thanks, Jürgen, for coming in again, buddy. Always good talking with you. And I know my audience really enjoys your input, so I look forward to our next conversation.
Talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Okay, buddy. Folks, I was originally going to go do 3 hours today, but I had a couple people I was going to call in. And believe it or not, the dental work I had done here a week ago is still giving me a little bit of problem. Inside of my mouth's a little bit sore, and I'm not making excuses, but I think I'm going to call it a day. So that being said, I will be back next week, same time, same place. I want to thank my guests for coming in today. I've enjoyed the conversations. Always good to have Roger and Jürgen in. And I'll make sure I line up a good show for you next week, and I'll be back same time. So you guys all have a great week. God bless you all, and bye for now.